Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A biblical pickup line? This is Wretched Radio. If you are single or you have a son or daughter who is not yet engaged or married, is it possible the Bible has a foolproof pickup line for you? A courtesy of the book of Genesis. There's lots of answers there, so I'm told. It's the story of a servant who is tasked by his master, a fellow named Abraham, to find a woman for his boy, whose name is Isaac. The servant goes on a journey to a foreign land, and he comes up with a scheme to identify just the right woman. The question that he asks, that you might consider asking if you're thinking, maybe that person is the right one for me, but I want to be certain, so I want to use a biblical question. Well, here it is. This just might help you find a spouse. Would you water my camel? Go ahead. You just give that a go. Actually, that's not exactly the way the story went down. The servant approached a well. A woman approached him, offering to water the servant's camels, which was the sign for the servant. She's the one. Camels were basically like the old world eHarmony.com. No, they were the Jewish mingle is what the camels were. He identified a woman of kindness who would be just right for his master's son. Her name was Rebecca. You can find the tale in Genesis chapter 24. And whilst it is an interesting story, I don't think it's one that should be duplicated today. I suppose if you were a prosperity preacher and you went to the Old Testament, which is pretty much their exclusive territory where they go glean a parenthetical statement to come up with some ridiculous money-grabbing scheme. Did you hear about the dude, I don't know what his name was. Apparently he sang at P. Sean Diddy, I don't know, whatever the guy's name was, in 2019. And now he's a preacher and he had the doors shut, about 1,000 people at his church. Go figure. And he said he wasn't going to let him out until they raised $40,000. Okay, I'm not sure that was an offering or a hostage attempt. Even so, it was just no doubt this guy, like all of the prosperity preachers, used Old Testament verses. So I guess if I were going to be a prosperity hack, and I wanted to preach a sermon on how to find a spouse, I would say something like, so here's what you do. When you go to the QT, the girl who offers to fill your tank, she's the one. See? Yeah. Jimmy, I brought it from the old world into the new world there.
That's it.
And I just mangled the Bible. There are stories in the Bible that are there for our learning. They're there for edification. They're there sometimes for the narrative to forward a story, but they're not always prescriptive. In other words, not everything that you read, Old or New Testament, that is a narrative, it is a story, means I need to duplicate that. I need to say what they said, do what they do. And I think this is one of those instances in Genesis 24. You probably don't want to ask somebody if they're willing to water your camel or fill up your gas tank, which, by the way, when are prices come? I thought we were drilling, and prices were going to come down lickety split.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, me too. Me too.
When's that happening? And I hear eggs are down a little bit, but I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. But gas is still crazy. You probably don't want to ask somebody if they're willing to fill your tank. Although that would probably be a good sign that they're generous. The story in Genesis 24, not intended to be repeated. But it sure does make for a good title of a book written by Paul Grimmond called Water for My Camels. navigating the space between singleness and marriage when the Bible doesn't talk about dating. Uh-oh, what do you mean the Bible doesn't talk about dating? It's sufficient for all of life and godliness. Right. But that doesn't mean it identifies this concept that is really a Western, much more recent approach to finding a spouse called dating. I guess it was preceded by courting. Prior to that, there was a lot of arranging. I guess prior to that, there was camel watering. The point is, we in the West do this thing called dating. And increasingly, it's difficult. Societies shift, cultures change. And we have seen that the institutions that we once relied on, the institutions that we once trusted, some of the social norms that we leaned into to support family and marriage and finding a spouse, they've just been obliterated. And now what do you have? A dating app. And people scroll like a nobody's business to hopefully find themselves a spouse. And it is not going great. Now, some people, of course, are successful that way, but others are not. And it's a struggle. And this book, I think, is helpful. It's a short read that I would encourage you to pick up and consider, because this isn't about how to find a spouse per se. I mean, it has some of that in there, but I think it focuses more on what are you looking for? And this is important, because it's most likely if you're single, it's going to correct you. This is going to be like a dating chiropractic visit. It's going to readjust and realign how it is that you think about this thing called dating, what it is that you're doing, what you're trying to accomplish, what your mindset should be, and with whom should you go about the business of dating. Now, maybe you're thinking, I ain't single. This ain't got nothing to do with me. It does if you're in a local church, because the world tells young people, this is what it's all about. This is how you date. This is what you're looking for. This is who you should get married, if you should get married at all, because don't forget, it's really scary out there. You can help people. And I think that we need to start making a concerted effort to speak more about marriage, parenting, children, family, homes, the traditional stuff, the old path stuff that the Bible heartily endorses, because the world is screaming a different narrative. App, swipe, swipe. The person has to be perfect. The person has to do absolutely everything that makes you happy. Otherwise, toxic. Get rid of them. Swipe on. And that is a world of futility for so many. So let's make our way through at least a part of Water for My Camels, which might be the most unique book title in the history of book titles, at least in Christian publishing. Who should you date? That's simple, a Christian. That most likely you know. But let's go deeper. What type of person should you date? And if you're single or you've got kids, this is maybe going to sound somewhat Sunday schoolish. It is not. I can assure you, whatever tingly feelings that you're looking for or experiencing when you're dating, that ain't going to take you through 30, 40, 50 years of marriage. Those things are going to change. And you need more profound things. And that is exactly what marriage is all about, the profound things. So don't hear this and go, okay, sure, he's got to be godly. I got to have a God. No, I'm telling you, you want a godly spouse. Don't play with this. Oh, well, he went to camp once and he put a stick in a fire. So yeah, he's a Christian. Yeah, no, not so fast. You want to make sure that the individual loves God more than he or she loves you. Did you get that? If you find somebody who loves God above all things, that is like a big box checked for you. If that person does not esteem, love, desire to be pleasing to the Lord more than anything or anyone else, pass. Because that's what marriage is about. And if you're a Christian, I promise you, even if you're a young person and maybe you're kind of nominal, let's say, you know, you believe in Jesus, but you know, there's some stuff and you could get a little better. And you're pretty somewhat, I kind of go to church on occasion. I'm telling you, your marriage will become what I'm about to describe from this book. You need to find this person up front. Because if you don't identify the person up front who is these things that they will eventually become and your marriage will need, you're going to have a lot of hard years. That's all there is to it. I mean, almost hesitate to say this because the world is so down on marriage, but marriage, while being spectacular and amazing, it ain't easy. It's hard because it causes you to deny yourself. That's what you will be doing in marriage. Now, if you find somebody who is not prepared to do that, and you think, well, someday, okay, well, maybe someday they will become the sacrificial one. But until then, you're going to be living with a really selfish human being. And that means you're going to be really miserable. So why not find this up front? Why not take the one who designed and created marriage, who should know what is best for us in this institution? Why not take heed and listen to what he says when it comes to finding a spouse, which we will do next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. Will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And together, we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical. But on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wouldn't you love to read Jimmy's notes right now? This is Wretched Radio. What did you call that last segment about camel watering? what was that called?
That's what I called it, Water for My Camels.
This is Wretched Radio, a book, Water for My Camels. I believe he's from New Zealand, Sydney. Oh, that would be Australia. Sorry, Ken. Sorry, Ray. This is a pastor who has counseled countless young people seeking to get married. And what he's learned over the years from experience and from the Bible, it will help you. And this is not a simplistic approach to dating or what you should be seeking. This is serious, earnest business. And if you've been playing with dating, you've just been swiping, she's cute, I'll call her for coffee. No, you're just playing Russian roulette is all you're doing. And frankly, you're wasting everybody's time. Instead, understand what God says is a qualified spouse and what you're going to need to endure. And let's be teaching our kids this countercultural narrative, because the world, they do not think like this. And for every time we talk about water for my camels, the world screams their message. Just hook up, man. Date. You'll find somebody maybe like eventually. If you have to get married, because I don't know, man, why you'd want to do that, because it's really scary and you could lose all your stuff. She could just dump you. We've got to be speaking highly of marriage. Who should you date? It's important to remember the person you marry is going to get old. They're going to look different, smell different, and you'll get to the point where you've heard each other's jokes multiple times. So whatever caused the initial buzz of romance is going to disappear, or it's going to be transformed over time. You need to know that, because if you don't, you're looking for the wrong things. What you're looking for is character. Looking for a deep conviction about who Jesus is, for the role that God plays in your life, and for a willingness to wholeheartedly live under Jesus as Lord and King. If you're not dating that kind of person, something needs to change. They would need to change lickety-split, or you need to change what you're doing. Because this is what marriage is about. Even though you cling together in a one-flesh union, you both are submitting and surrendering to Jesus Christ, growing in holiness, running the race of sanctification to celestial city, to arrive there, fit for eternity. That's what you're looking for. So here's a question for you, young lady. If you're dating a young man, does he lead you in devotions? Does he go to church without being goaded? Does he actually read his Bible? If not, time for a swipe, because that ain't the guy you're looking for. And I would be shocked. I would think that probably people who either aren't married or haven't been married for a long time are going, dude, kind of severe. You know, they could grow into that. Yeah, they could, but they might not. And these are the qualifications, because this is what this hokey pokey called marriage is all about. And if a young man is not leading now, there's a very good probability he's not ever going to lead, because he's not mature enough. Doesn't mean he's not saved. Just means he's not mature, doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, fine. So could you maybe train him to do that? Sure. But here's the challenge. Is it coming from the heart, or is he just doing it because dad said, that's what I got to start doing now? You're looking for godly. This is from the book, Water for My Camels. Where might we turn in the Bible to think about the kind of person you should date? A great place, Galatians 5. Look for fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. Don't look for cute, rich, handsome, pretty, sexy, charming, witty, funny. Those things, that's like B-list stuff. You're looking for somebody who exudes fruit. Increasing measures of fruit, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. I can assure you they're more important than looks, Because if you're living with a good-looking person who's a jerk, how long are you going to be willing to overlook their jerkishness because they're pretty or handsome? Not long. Look for the big things. As you think about who to date, observe how the person you're interested in relates to other people. Is he proud, self-promoting, or genuinely happiest when Jesus gets the glory? I'm never going to find anybody like that. Maybe, but to find somebody who's not like that, it's marital Russian roulette, and it just might explode on you. Is she able to say, I'm sorry? Can he admit his mistakes? Does she serve others in ways that cost her something? Does he keep his word? This is bigger than just, I need to marry a Christian. That would be the Sunday school answer. Who should you marry? A Christian, right? But a Christian, not a Christian, a Christian, somebody who's earnest about this. And it shows. This is not ticking the Christian box. Furthermore, some encouragement from Water for My Camels by Paula Grimmond. Date in community. Don't do this on your own. Involve people that you trust. People at church, hopefully. Friends. Siblings. Oh, siblings. I'd never let them get there. They're just gonna... Do your best to glean what you can from them. And you say, I've got parents. They're not even Christians. Even so, well, that's not ideal. Even so, they know stuff. They know you. So use a filter, but let them speak into your life. Do not do it alone. Gain wisdom. Once you work out with whom you're going to speak, ask them to share their thoughts about your strengths and weaknesses and readiness for a relationship. If they know the other person, ask them what they think of the possibility of a relationship and whether it would be a good idea to date that person. Ask them to give you advice with this question in mind. Will dating this person be good for both of us in loving and following Jesus? That is wisdom. Do not divorce your parents, your family, your friends, your church in the process of dating. When should you date? Well, this fellow's advice is he thinks that you should wait till you get out of school. I'd be reticent to put any sort of date on it. Young people can get married. Now, statistically, the younger you get married, the higher probability of divorce. That's a statistical fact, but that's not a biblical mandate. I think that you should get married as soon as you possibly can. And age, I'm not a big fan of age because some people are mature way younger than other people are. Other advice from the book, beware of dating when you're vulnerable. You just broke up with somebody, you went through a big life change, you experienced a loss of a loved one. You don't want to be making big decisions. You're vulnerable, your judgment clouded. And when you receive some attention, that's the balm I needed. And you just become blind to the important stuff. So be sensible and make sure you're not vulnerable. Continuing, have the DTR conversation. Define the relationship. Dude, this is up to you. Sit down and ask the question. What is this? Where are we going? What are we doing? I'm interested. I'd like to get to know you better. What do you think? Embrace yourself for the answer. But you need to sit down and determine, what is it that we're trying to do here? Where are you at with this? Because if you're working in opposite directions, it's just going to end up in heartbreak. Don't do that. Number three from the book, Water for My Camels. How should you date? How should you date? I'm going to read through this list quickly. And this is what your dating should be about. May we enjoy God more than anyone or anything else, including each other. That's what your marriage is supposed to be about. That's what should drive your dating. And if your dating doesn't look like that, you've probably got the wrong person. May we have and raise joyful, godly children if God wills. May we be bold ambassadors for the gospel wherever we go. May we make our home a safe, inviting, and life-giving place for others. Okay, Now, this is a long list, but let's just pause there for a moment. That your desire in marriage should be to cultivate a home that is safe, inviting, and life-giving for others. If your dating isn't doing that, most likely your marriage isn't going to do that. And this is what you want your marriage to be. May we be a blessing to the families of God. May we always love and invest in the local church. If you're dating and you're not involved in a local church, it's broken. You either got to get it addressed and fixed or it's time to swipe. Because that's what your marriage is supposed to be about. I know. That makes it even harder. I know. But this is what God wants for your marriage. And so to those who are maybe treating it rather glibly, casually, purposelessly, it's time to water your camels. I don't know that actually made sense. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.